You're listening to Fakeologist Audio Chat. This is a new and exciting way to communicate with fellow fakeologists from all over the world. Each day we compress and post the day's audio into a file that can be big or small. Discover new voices and ideas that talk about media fakery like you never did before. Please search for Fakeologist Audio Chat and Fakeologist Main Show on your favorite podcast app. To connect to our always on and always streaming audio chat, go to fakeologist.com/audio chat. To listen to the live stream, go to fake11.com/radio2. Now, on with the audio chat.
Hey folks, this is Alan, what's his name? On 20th of May, 2023, and you're listening to Rick, possibly Ab, to help themselves a bit later. Thank you, folks.
Thank you, Alan What's-His-Name. not the real Alan What's-His-Name, the real Alan Watt. He's sadly not around to be giving us sage advice, and I've been listening to the Reduxes and going right back to the old ones in the 2007s and earlier, 1998, and prescient podcasts, be told, guaranteed, no arguments entered into, Alan Watt, cutting through the matrix. No, I'm not getting paid for this, but he's the base that you need. You need a base and you can go off to extremes, which is over here. This is the extremist. We're the pointiest end of the pointy sword of truth, even though there's a few people that could be trying to hijack it, but you're going to get some very good stuff on here. Be told. Now, I just drove back in the middle of the night last night. I left at 8:30 and drove back. Got home at 12:30. I was having a beer at midnight, as you do. And I listened. The thing that kept me awake again is my new favourite radio show. And I urge anyone, and even if you're overseas, you can go online and find Coast FM 96.3, Gosford, I think it is. It's like just an hour out of Sydney. And there's an English guy on a Friday night at 8 p.m. till 3 p.m., 8 p.m. till 11 p.m., 3 hours. He's obviously my generation or a little bit older possibly. And he just plays the most interesting music. He plays a lot of 60s music mixed in with old TV show themes, old movie show themes. One of the best ones last night was the music from On Her Majesty's Secret Service, the movie that after Connery left and the Australians stepped in for one movie. Because they had it was interesting scene. This guy also does a bit of trivia as well, which I love. I didn't know this. Apparently John Barry went to Cubby Broccoli and said, "I cannot rhyme or come up with anything for On Her Majesty's Secret Service. It doesn't rhyme. Burvis, Nervous, Hervis." So they just agreed to just do an instrumental, and be told, it's fantastic. It's one of those real good 60s adventure type spy type instrumentals. Highly recommend that, On Her Majesty's Secret Service by John Barry, who did most of the stuff, I think, for the Bond movies in the background. And then he plays, you know, this guy, then he'll play the Sex Pistols. And then he played a weird, amazing song, which I think had Benny Hill in it from the soundtrack to Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, written by the creator of James Bond, Ian Fleming, be told. Remember that? Chitty Chitty, there's stuff in there. All the kids getting abducted, the child catcher, all the kids kept underneath the castle. Did he know something? He did die mysteriously in Jamaica. Mysteriously, that's what I say. Very interesting. I mean, he was an admiral in the Navy, a commander, just like James Bond's character. But James Bond's character was in the Reserve Navy, not the actual Navy. But Fleming was in a very high-level intelligence agency in the Navy, which seems to be awful, because obviously now I realise why the Navy is so powerful, because it is the commanders of the sea, the law of the sea. That's where you see your crowns everywhere. Your you know, those, not bidents, the tridents. Biden is the two-pronged one, and trident is the three-pronged one. Napoleon Wilson, he knows all about these. That trident logo is everywhere. And Commander Fleming, who went on to, again, retire to, or live and knock out his novels, which had a lot of stuff. And if you listen to Jay Dyes, he's really broken down the James Bond. There's so much stuff in the James Bond movies. Be told. Be told. What else? What else? And, I mean, this guy just plays the best music. So you get 3 hours. So if you're overseas, it's probably around in the morning on a Friday, on a Saturday morning. Fantastic music to listen to, I would say. We are in the FACO Olympics at the moment with all sorts of things going off. I haven't been listening to IPS for the last 2 months, possibly, but he's onto it over there. I'm not on the Gilded Cage. No, I'm not on it yet. I could be, but I'm not on it yet. So we had two interesting news stories throughout the week here in Australia. And blow me down. I don't know whether I picked it up from Chris Kendall, but he would maybe, I don't know, they use sevens to depress you. There's never a bad story. And then I picked up about 5-6 years ago as I was driving, I was listening to a story about one of the nicest dogs you can ever get is a red setter or a golden retriever. And there was the first news item on the rank on a beautiful summer's day in Sydney on the news, all over the news, was 7 golden retrievers died in a fire at someone's house. And I thought, I'd love to go out there and check, verify this, because there's no names given. They just used to depress you first thing in the morning. The most wonderful dogs all burning to death. Because Kendall had picked up that there was, 7 children killed in a hurricane or a tornado not far from where he lived in Texas, in Austin. Or what was it? Austin, Texas, I think he was living. Anyway, they use sevens to depress, whenever they get a chance to depress you, 7 is a 7 code. And Dave J has been on all over this for a long time. And so I posted something about, that I suggested it was could have been a vaccident. So there were 7 children had their arms amputated. That was the first leading story on the news. There was children having their arms amputated from a bus crash in a small regional town in Victoria. And I remember thinking, what the, had arms amputated from a bus crash, but, these things happen, I suppose. Well, there you go. And I put it on there saying, I suggest it could be a vaccident. Well, it was a truck that hit it, apparently. This is the narrative, but Dave Day said, hoax, hoax, hoax. 7 code. It happened at 7:40 a.m., whatever the time was. It's, 7:30 or 4:30. Well, either one, it was number 7. And I thought, it's stretching it. And then blow me down. They actually started saying the number. It was 7 children. So I'm afraid to say, even though this could, is that you, Mr. Fakeologist? We'll keep this conversation going if it is. Tick, 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 tick. The 7777 is the 7 code. There's no doubt about it. Now, how easy would this be to go and jump over and get onto a little tricycles, the 3-wheeler bikes with the aerials with a little flag on them that we have, Fakeologist special machinery that we use to transport ourselves, push bike over to a hospital if you're living in Victoria and say, I need to know the details for the parents' sake so we can organise a fundraiser for the children that have had their arms ripped off, amputated. This should be easy to do. Has anyone done it? I don't know, but basically the 7 code was all over that story. So is Dave J 100% right? It looks like it. It looks like it because they're definitely using sevens to do the nasty stories. And it gets deeper than that. I mean, the 7 is a 5 plus 2 or something or other. There's something more encoded in that, apparently. Benoit, that's who it is, the legendary Benoit. I can see you now. How are you, ma'am? You can unmute.
Bonjour. Can you hear me loud and clear?
Yeah, perfectly. Perfectly. I couldn't work out who it was, so it was just... Yeah, so you've been well? Have you been well?
Yeah, I'm still healing my clavicle or collarbone. You say it as you want to say it, but still not working. It's been almost 3 months now. So
You haven't been working for 3 months.
Yeah, but I'm still paid. I'm on accident leave, so it's okay.
Oh, excellent. It was.
Yeah.
Well, I'm happy for that. I'm in the same boat where I want to be working. I actually like working, but I keep getting a day off here and a day off there, and it's not good. I'd rather be working all the time and busy and then have to have time off to, because I'm exhausted, rather than to be scratching for work. I do not like scratching for work, and it's the way it's been lately. That's the way it's been. Yeah. But I'm getting by. So did you hurt yourself?
Yeah, I was, as you know, I was working on a bicycle, and I don't know, I have many things in my mind. I was on the welfare house. I mean, I was working during the day, and I was in jail at night. I had personal issue with my girlfriend. Everything was going to shit in my life. I was not paying attention, and I got hurt by a car on the bicycle.
I can tell you now, I wouldn't get on a bike over here. For the very fact that we've got a lot of people that don't see properly, I won't say the name, the race of people, but they've got an issue with peripheral vision. You can work that one out. And they don't, the plus we've got so many people coming over here that are just getting their license straight away, and plus we've got lots of old people here, and unfortunately I'm of the view with Bill Gates and Anthony Fauci, the population reduction. So when I see the driving that gets done by some of these old people, that shouldn't be, they're driving into their late 70s, and early 80s, and up to 90. Yeah. I think if they get their license.
Yeah, I think it's the same around here, but I wasn't worried about it. I mean, I was very, very much attentive to the road and everything. To be honest, this accident, it's really on me.
What were your injuries? What did the car did your leg get?
Considering the crash I had and the fact that the bicycle was total, but I had 3 broken ribs, a little pain on my back, and a broken clavicle. It's nothing really. The worst was the ribs, to be honest. I will say that about
you know why you can't laugh or breathe.
No, I'm okay. But for the first week, I could not even get up by myself. So it was awful, but it's okay. I mean, the only problem I have right now, but I will probably find a way to get it better, is that my left shoulder is probably 2 to 3 centimeters lower than my right. Apart from that, everything is good.
Yeah. Well, all I can say, having been injured quite a few times, and I've had bad shoulder injuries, but they take it. You're getting to the age now. You won't bounce back like you think. Say you're still in your your late 30s, mid 30s,
39. Oh, I know I will not heal as I would if I was 25.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I found when I was in my 40s. A shoulder injury, which I got a couple of from stupid things, skirmishes, that's all I'll say. They take a year to get better sometimes. Yeah, it's not straight away unless you get physio, which I highly recommend. And because you had an accident, I think the medical...
1 hour of physio. I had to do physio, but really, I mean, I'm not in pain. I don't feel any problem to breathe or anything. I don't really need physio. I mean, that I think of, but so the thing is that they prescribed me 10 sessions with the physio. So what I did is that I did not use them in the beginning, and I will use them now to get the shoulder better, not just to get the amplitude of movement, because that I can do on my own, but to get the last touch on it, I will use the physio session.
Yeah, yeah. Well, when you can, weight training and the rubber bands, get those the rubber band things. you just have to sit there and do it. I'm guilty of not doing physio on my knee, and I pay for it every day. Yeah, but I go to the gym. I've just been to the gym, just got back from the gym, and I feel so much better when I go to the gym. Physically, from just training those muscles, the front muscles back again that I lost, you know, with a leg injury. But yeah, so how's it?
Would you like to support Fakeologist.com and all the content we're creating? We operate on the value for value principle, where you pay whatever you can for whatever value you feel you've received. We accept donations in almost every form, from PayPal to Bitcoin. Please go to Fakeologist.com/donate for your payment options. Thank you for your support.
You're listening to Rick and Benoit from Switzerland on the 20th of May, 2023. We're discussing injuries. It's the most common conversation people over a certain age talk about, unfortunately. But it is, sadly. So have you had any, have you spotted anyone dropping dead from vaccines, or having, do you know anyone's had a heart attack or a stroke? I've heard of a couple.
No, and honestly, I don't think that it will be the case in the future, because people, I'm 39, people around me will die. There is no way I can tell really why they died or anything like that. What I can say about this whole virus situation that I can see, that it's like everybody that was in on the team that was believing it, it's like they are ashamed. How can I say that? It's like the time where everybody was wearing baggy jeans. If you try to remind someone when they were wearing baggy jeans, they would say, they don't remember. What is the thing for that situation?
Hey, just have you got a microphone, or are you talking into, have you got a phone, or are you talking to a micro headset? Because it's drifting, it kind of moves in it.
Because I'm on the public transportation, but I get off right now, so it should be okay. And I'm using some pretty decent, headphones, by the way. I got lucky. I found them laying on the bus the other day. So it's supposed to be good.
You might have found Ben, I think you found my ones, because I lost some on the bus the other day.
Something like that. Anyway, I'm pretty lucky, because I would have never forked that much money for headphones. It's about $150. I'm pretty happy about those.
Excellent. Excellent. Yeah, I just talked to someone tonight, and they told me a guy used to come around here and do some gardening as part of a therapy thing that my ex used to have some brain injured clients, and she used to bring them around here to do gardening. He was a really nice guy. He was only same age as me, and he died suddenly this week. And I said, "What from?" And she said, "We don't know." And I went, I can't say to her what I think. But then someone else told me, I think it was sister, said that a guy at the Asian chef at the fantastic little pub in Balmain that he was working at, he had a stroke, so he's lost his left, so one side of his body's gone. He's only, well under, he'd be probably in his 30s. And who else? Someone else. I just bumped into a guy. I was just doing my shopping, and I bumped into two lots of people. Bumped into a friend of mine who's a plumber, and his daughter just had a baby, but she got put back in hospital from blood clots. And I didn't say anything, of course, but I thought that's three today I've just heard of clots, strokes, and mysterious death. So could be happening. It could be happening. Frank certainly thinks so.
Yeah, I did not see anybody, myself, falling on the ground. But I see from time to time. The other day we met, and she was shaking, and I was like, "What is up with you?"
The way I went to the petrol station for cigarettes and the lady in front of me, she just dropped dead. And I was like, yeah, she did she have a seizure or anything? She said, no. She just lifted her arm and fell on her back and she was conscious and she was dead.
Wow.
So no, I did not see nothing myself, personally.
I'm always 1 degree separation of most interesting things. I'm usually leading a fairly dull life, but I had certainly three conversations today of they said one dropped dead, and he did drop dead. They said they don't know why. They obviously didn't have to do an autopsy. They'll obviously find clots, obviously, in my mind, but that's me. But the statistics are definitely out there that there are people more deaths than there was 2 years ago. So you can only lead to the spidey senses that you use have to say there's something going on. I think though, to be honest, the flu shot before COVID was killing people. I think the flu shot's the one that we should be more concerned of. It's the most thing that people take. They don't think about. They just go and get two a year, and who's to know what's in it?
People are jumping at that, as you probably know. I mean, this lady I see from time to time. She has an allergy to pollen. You know, like the thing that fell from the tree.
Yep.
I don't know if people that pollen in English, but anyway, she's allergic to that, and she was. I feel so sick. So she got to the doctor, and the doctor gave her a shot. And I was like, what is the shot? And she said, I don't really know. And I asked her, I said, so is it efficient? She said, not really. She said, well,
no. Yeah.
Something that is not really efficient.
I regularly listen to, I used to regularly listen to a show on Saturday mornings and Sunday mornings for years. And these two announcers, they've been sacked now because of their views on climate change. But they both used to openly push the flu shot all the time. They used to have a doctor come on and they said, and both of them were regularly going off sick with the flu. Yet they used to push the flu shot saying, I've just had mine. Just had mine. And next thing you know, you hear them and they're having a day off. So flu shots don't work. You just got to understand that. They do not work. It's as simple as that. I think that's these shots they did for the COVID one were more to do with tracking people, like making part of this global tracking network to make sure who's done this and who's complied here and who hasn't. But the flu shots, people do not blink about going and getting a flu shot. They just go and get them. And I'm talking about maybe 80, 90% of the people over 50 or over 40. It seems to be a very compulsive thing that people love doing. And they believe that it works, but yet they still get sick.
Well, I will think that the first argument most people will tell you, if you ask them why, they will just tell you that because it's free. That's probably the main argument for most people. Yeah, exactly. Just because it's free.
It's free, yeah. And Ab said that last week. He said if they charged 50, he said a dollar, people wouldn't have got the COVID shot, so it was free.
Definitely.
I said, if it was 20, even if it was 20 cents, they wouldn't have taken it because it was 20 cents out to take a risk on. But when you get something for free, and if they say, we'll give you a free hot dog, which they did, or some donuts, which they did, or a free movie pass, which they did, people will do it. It's just like a little bit of an incentive. They know that the public love free things. Free stuff's fantastic, and this supposed miraculous thing that's going to stop you getting sick does not work. Does not work whatsoever.
So, the thing is that it doesn't work for a disease that doesn't even exist, which is even that's even crazier.
Have the shot for free for something that doesn't exist. And people go, oh, fantastic, I'll run off and do that. But yeah, no, I'm not seeing people dropping dead, but I'm hearing of people that are definitely having strokes. And definitely blood clots. Blood clots seem to be a very common thing from what I can work out from the things I hear, things I hear people talking about. But I was talking last week, the COVID has finished for at least 2 years because they're bringing these. I have never seen the amount of Indians, and I'm talking about dark skinned, I'm talking about very well to do Pakistan, like the light skinned. There was a couple in the bank the other day. They weren't speaking English, but I live in the town I live in had two Indians 10 years ago. It's now probably got 2,000 and more arriving day after day. India seems to be the country they're emptying India right now. And that was part of the Royal Institute of International Affairs meeting that Alan Watt used to go on about when I was talking to that Melissa Watt, and she said that was the most interesting thing that he ever said was there was a meeting in 1936 in Australia for the Royal Institute of International Affairs for their coming century plan, and they said India was not ready in 1938 and that they needed to build it up, educate, because they're coming over here. Just look at the shoes on these people. They've got shoes are a little indication of how much money you've got. I don't care what anyone says. So these people have the most beautiful, beautiful leather, like high-level, beautiful shoes. They're dressing beautifully. They're coming over buying big houses. They're all working. They're professionals. They're a lot of medical people, radiologists, specialists, engineers. Yet the public over here are being dumbed down and brought down to basically doing stop and go work is the biggest industry in Australia or that I can see.
Yeah, there is a name for what you're describing, but the thing is that using that name to describe the situation will automatically make you a fascist. The name that I'm speaking about is great replacement. The Great Replacement. And yes. That's a fact.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a fact.
It's a fact.
I'm being kind when I'm saying Alf. Alf of fucking Albania is living in Switzerland or in Geneva. It's completely insane. I mean, there are parts of the town that are completely replaced.
I want to know, have you ever met and dealt with Albanians before? Because I've met the males have a...
Yeah, yeah.
They
since
all
99.
Really arrogant... you know, there's a good reason why in that movie, there's a movie Taken, I think it was, that the bad guys were Albanians and they're getting, what's his name? Liam Neeson was slaughtering Albanians. And I think people were actually cheering in the audience when he was doing it. Because anyone that's dealt with them, they seem to be, they flit into crime really fast, networks of crime. Same with the Afghanis, they set up networks really fast. And,
I mean, when they arrived in the 99, I mean, around the time that Serbia tried to retake Kosovo and parts of Albania, what happens is that they started to come here, to arrive here. And of course, it's not all criminals, population or anything, because you have to open businesses to launder the money. But historically, because of their geographic situation, they were always heavy on the heroin trade. So they basically hold, as soon as they arrive, they hold the heroin trade. What happened over the years, and I found my fascinating, because that is a subject that I'm very interested in, is that slowly but surely, they took up everything else. Then suddenly, they had weed, the best weed you can find, which was grown in their own country, and they found a way to get it there. But then again, they started to go into synthetic drugs, and then coke, and now they are into everything. Everything. There is not one dope that they don't hold the market of.
Yeah, they seem to be a network, a race that picks up on a network and they can take over really fast. But when you deal, look, I'm only talking about, I was on a building site and one of the foremen was Albanian. He'd bullshitted his way to this job. No way he was qualified at what he was doing. I could tell that he didn't know what he was doing. But he had this arrogant, You know, they talk to you as if you're, you know, you're an idiot, but you know that they actually are quite stupid, the ones that I've dealt with anyway. But they've got they form networks big time, and Albanian, there's a number of, what's the other one that I was talking about? After that, as you were talking about Kosovo, I've just been reading a book about that. Last week. I read half of it and it was highly depressing, but all I could see there was that this was part of the World Economic Forum, you know, spread them out, move refugees into different countries. That's all they were doing with that one. And the Albanians got carte blanche to just move all around the world and work and set up networks. They're like the foot soldiers under the Italian type of thing. So you got your, I do believe now.
Definitely.
Yeah. They use these guys because they know that. Yeah.
Yeah. What you just said reminds me of a scene in the TV show The Sopranos from the late 2000s. At one point, they are informed that they will be indicted by the FBI and everything. And they're like, how shall we go on the lam and disappear for a while? And the main character, Tony Sopranos, he say, nah, if we move now in 1 week, Albanians will be in our houses. So even back then.
He said it exactly. And he so there's a lot of truth in that thing. I heard a really good, I think Jay Dyer and his wife watched every episode and then did a breakdown of the show. And blow me down, it was full of stuff, full of some really deep stuff as well. That you like, you know, because Tony Soprano was dreaming a lot and doing, there was a lot of kind of, what would you call it? Quite deep kind of subliminal stuff in that show, but a lot of truth in that show. And he said, you know, like the Italians came over here in New York and other countries, and they were the builders of those cities. They were the tradesmen for stone, and hence why the you know, there's a big link with the Vatican and mafia for sure. And so I'd actually used to put the mafia down, saying that they're nothing compared to, like, you know, the Jewish mafia. But in actual fact, they're probably equal, but a different level, and they do different things. They take over unions, they take over building construction, the wharf, 100%, where the docks, where things are getting brought in from other countries. You have a look at the, it is mafia, or what you call Sicilian.
In Europe, family, because it's a current topic, but in Europe, Of course, the Albanian mafia has a way to import drugs or anything, but it seems that lately the main hub for drugs across Europe is Anvers, Antwerp, in Belgium. And it seems that Antwerp, yeah. It seems that it's mostly controlled by locals criminal group, mostly comprised of people of Moroccan descent. So in that case, I'm not saying that they don't.
That's the hash network has always been come through Morocco. Morocco has always been where you get the big hash imports. And I guess where you see hash, we will see heroin as well.
But you see everything, because it's the same thing. It's like I'm not that I'm a person that always refer to TV shows, but to give you another TV show,
Ten years ago, 20 years ago, I would have said, now I'm 100% saying you're going to get more truth from your TV shows than you're going to get out of your news TV.
So in that TV show, Boardwalk Empire, that was telling the story of Al Capone and different groups of criminals, there were smuggling alcohol because prohibition. And at one point, Meyer Lansky, the Jewish criminal, is there with a briefcase and he's speaking with some guys from Irish mobster. And he's like, so what do you get? You get about 10 trucks of alcohol that represent $1 million. I get this in one briefcase only.
Yeah, it's right. Yeah, and again, I tell people that watch the Godfather movies again when you're awake, and you're going to see a whole lot of interesting stuff, especially about Cuba. Cuba was their laundering spot to get the stuff into America. So Cuba had all the casinos and things like that. And then Whatever the power play happened. So that
people like I think it's Godfather 3, but Godfather 3. In the end, it's the best.
Yeah, and guess who's doing that? It's the Vatican. The Vatican come in there, you know what I mean? It's like, they're being honest in that movie. So the Godfather 3 is probably, if you want a history of, the power play of American drug dealing or whatever, Godfather 3 tells you that very brutally honest.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Hi, I'm Wild Times from Washington, D.C., and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
I think I pressed I think I pressed a button there to eliminate the beeps by accident. I'll have to fix that.
Because we've been...
Shout out to Wild Times. He's doing an excellent work around here.
Bonjour Benoît, bonjour Monsieur Esoteric.
Bonjour.
Bonjour. Comment allez-vous?
Ah, ça va bien. Et vous?
Pas mal, et toi?
I'm okay.
Fantastic. Fakeologist Radio, fakeologist.com on the 20th of the May 2023, and you got the Fakeologists has arrived. The Fakeologists has arrived to bring the beeps back again. Bringing back the beeps.
Pressed the wrong button, I think, somewhere.
International drug trades and Albanians. Well, always interesting.
It's a fascinating topic. I mean, the way a community arrives and takes over, because it's not like Albanians were the only people that arrived in Switzerland since the late 90s, let's say. There were a lot of different population. Thing is, they are less organized or less inclined to be criminals. So we have a shit ton of people from Eritrea, for example. They don't, I mean, of course they did on some small level, but they don't have organized criminal network
I'm going to say this. And I'll make a very bold claim that, not a bold claim, but it's quite to us, but you're going to see in the next 2 years a exodus from Africa, India, China, and those Balkan states that you've never seen. If you thought it was bad before, you wait till you see what's coming, because they've pulled back the COVID. And now it's going to be mass migration into every different country they want to bring them in. They're going to be pushing them out of Africa into Switzerland. They'll be pushing them into France, pushing them into England, pushing them into Australia, New Zealand.
I can tell you, it's a done deal already. They can bring more.
Yeah.
But there is enough for us to be completely replaced. Just to give you an example, during the football or soccer World Cup, there was one point where the only white guy in the French team was the goalkeeper. During the final.
Yes. My son, you and my son will get on like a house on fire, because my oldest son is obsessed with sport. Like, he knows everything. He knows all their names. He knows how much they're getting paid. He knows what team they came from before that. And he was telling me about so these players are getting paid allegedly, you know, $20, $30 million to transfer into different teams or whatever. I mean, the money that's going down in sport is just at a level I'd never seen before. But they are rigging all these games now. The games are being rigged 100%. And people said, you couldn't do that. How would you do that? It's very explainable that people will take money for any reason. And you bring a certain amount of people from... But I don't believe they're actually getting that amount of money, personally. I think that they're just getting told they're getting that amount of money, but they have to pay their manager's fees, which must be huge. And
the amount of money.
No way. That's why you always see them, you know, having problems with drugs, getting arrested for doing stupid things, bashing their girlfriends.
An example that goes to show what you are saying. It's a city in France called Toulouse. They have a football team, of course. And there is this guy from Iceland. I think he's from Iceland. Anyway, this guy was borrowing money from other players because apparently he likes to gamble. And what happened is that he was owning around 100,000 euros to another player. So they basically complained to the staff and they say, hey, okay, we just take you out of the team for a few games. So sort of this situation too. This guy is supposed to be paid an insane amount of money that they, even with the gold legal deal, they should not be to the level of need to borrow any money.
What can a person do that's got no education, that's come, so a basketballer that's come from the streets or whatever, all of a sudden he's on, you know, $20-30 million a year contract, and that's not including their clothing contracts. You're given that amount of money, you're going to be fleeced of that money very easily by signing things that you can't read, because that's what they're doing. They're getting them to sign off on this and sign off on that, and you came from nothing. Especially imagine coming from Africa where you literally people would stab you for a big pen in parts of Africa because that might make the difference of a meal if they could trade the pen for something to eat. Next thing you know, their brother or they have got a contract with one of the soccer teams or and they're getting paid $40 million. All this money is doing, it's money laundering, like the art fraud that we had for many, many years. Some people, you think that they're getting that money. The money's, it's just money laundering. There's big people running that thing. The Olympic Committee was notorious for being corrupt as well. There's huge, you know, probably billions of dollars gets laundered with the Olympics, whatever country that it goes to. And that every city that it goes to goes basically broke afterwards. They're promised all this money, but it doesn't actually go to them. So there's money laundering is the way of making money.
Predict that next year Olympic in Paris, France are going to be fascinating because I don't think that people realize who is populating France at this point. So I think, and maybe we will not see that in the mainstream media, but I predict massive robberies. Middle age cutting the road type of robberies. You know what I mean? Because if you want to have an idea of what is going to happen, there was the Champions League final in Paris last year. And I predict that on a more massive scale for 3 weeks.
The only thing I say about big events like the Olympics, watch the opening ceremony if you want to find out what's going to happen 20 years later or 10 years later, because these opening ceremonies and closing ceremonies almost spell out the future. Yeah. Like the English one, you've got to see it to believe it.
The occult shows, eh? Yeah, the
occult shows,
dancing nurses.
Yeah.
The hospital beds, yeah, that's giant, crazy.
I'm looking forward because they opened the new tunnel under a mountain in Switzerland a few years back. And the ceremony was fascinating because there was this guy supposed to look like a devil that was fucking a goat. So I'm still waiting for that in real life. Whatever the symbolic of it was, I want to see the real life devil fucking a goat. I'm still waiting for that.
don't hold your breath. Don't hold your breath. I mean,
it will be something else later.
It'll probably happen. That's what I'm saying. I mean, they're almost bizarrely and incredibly prescient of what they say is going to happen. the Australian, I like to go back and just watch a whole lot of them, to be honest, because I think once you understand that they give you your future in these giant events, the Super Bowl ones are definitely dodgy. Definitely dodgy. I just watched the last one with Snoop Dogg and what's his name from the producer, the Beats by Dre, Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg. Yeah. And 50 Cent and Eminem and, you know, it wasn't too bad, to be honest, but there's something going down where they're telling us stuff in those presentations. I haven't quite worked out what it is, but... Well, that one, but
the 2012 Olympic in London, it was insane with the Thames on fire and everything. Ceremony was
yes.
And I think that by watching a few ceremonies, a good selection of TV show, one with the good eyes and mindset can have a decent idea of what the future will hold. Probably.
Oh, absolute 100%. No argument entered into. And, you know, if you told me that, again, 20 years ago, I would have said, that's a bit too blatant. They wouldn't tell you exactly what they're going to do, but they do. They do. And we just did 3 years of COVID. And now we're going to get, I think, 2 years of mass migration till 2025. And then God knows what's coming after that. Maybe the mass cut-off of the...
They said 2025 to 2028. SPARS, that was just another plandemic. Do you think they could really do another 3-year plandemic?
Sadly, yes. Because
I think so.
I just picked up out of my volumes of magazines and books and stuff, and I put some photos of it on the Rick and Rollo site on the Great Books, and it was a paper called The New Citizen. It was the LaRouche, whatever they call themselves.
Publication, yeah.
Movement. Publication, yeah. And every page I picked up and turned over and looked at, it's all happened. And this is 1995. The headlines, mind controllers make a bold play for schools. And there's a whole article about that. They've tested out a plan of moving in a new syllabus into the school program, and that's going to be sent into all the schools all around the world. And sure enough, that's happened. I mean, every page, it's just everything that he said in 1995 has happened. The Aboriginal, the first page, it's basically, they got maps that somehow they've got where they're going to push the World Wildlife Foundation is going to take over all these areas, and they're going to push. And basically, they're all areas full of people. And yeah. So they're going to, it says, the cover says, news report, Prince Philip, WWF, genocide against millions. And every part of that map, is you can see it's already happening now with they're dividing up the whole of Australia into different Aboriginal tribes. So as you're driving down a freeway, you'll see it, you're now entering the Dakajin country, and then that will go, and then you'll go into another tribal country. Those signs just arrived out of nowhere two years ago.
Yeah, Frank was talking about that. They sent up an NGO to manage all these Indian areas. They've already set that up. They're giving them some huge amount of money. I think Frank said maybe $5 billion, and they'll be managing on behalf of the Indians. And then they'll just say, see, that's how they do it. They say, well, we're going to do it for them. The Indians aren't going to do it themselves. So they're going to do it for them, and then end up just taking over everything through that little sidestep, that little hustle.
So that finally explained to me in my head, because I kept wondering, how come the Maori in New Zealand they were never slaughtered, put into, you know, like they did to the Aboriginals. They put them into like reservations, exactly the same treatment as the American Indians got. But in New Zealand, it was the complete opposite. They were given everything. But now I understand why, because they were testing how we can almost phase out the English language in schools and make it almost mandatory to learn a language that half of 1% of the planet would understand, probably less than half of 1%. But if you go to New Zealand now, the businesses are having to change their names, like libraries. Say you go to register your car, they put a Maori name on top of the building. It's completely, they've eradicated the English language off the government structures. They use that as a test bed to see how we can do this in Canada, how we can do this in Australia.
We're not speaking Maori here.
Not yet, no. But you're in Canada, so you've got what do you call it? Indian? Inuit? What are you allowed to say? I can't remember.
I can say whatever I want.
Yeah, well, you can. You
there
can.
They're natives, Indians, indigenous, whatever. They were here. They were allegedly here first. Big deal.
Yeah. First Nations. Yeah, that's what I call First Nations.
It's quite similar in Switzerland because you have to learn German in school. But the thing is that they teach you German. Swiss German is different. So they basically teach you a language that you would never use. Because even if you speak German in the country, you will speak the Swiss.
And they bring that at schools. So this is part of the Orwellian agenda of phasing out the English language. To basically, is it 1,000? They've got a target number of words they want to be left of the English language. And I see that happened. That happened over here. So in Hollywood, it started with, remember Jennifer Lopez, all of a sudden they started calling her J-Lo. J-Lo, not Jennifer Lopez, it was J-Lo. In Australia, blow me down, they started calling the Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, ScoMo. ScoMo. So this whole thing spread through politics, and now it was used by the mass. The media was behind it.
Albanese.
Elbow.
Yeah. No, I'm anal. Anthony Albanese.
Yeah. That's what I'm. Well, the other thing, going back a few years, when I picked, this is going back 20 years at least. There was a back when I think the Iraq War first started. They started using this word "sexed up." They sexed up the dossier, and I thought, "What sexed up? Sexed up?" That was a so they, instead of saying we faked it, they called it we sexed it up. So we sexed up the reason.
They
said it here, and not only. Listen, this was in England and Australia and in New Zealand, big time, was used. Instead of saying the dossier that was saying that it was weapons of mass destruction was sick, they said, instead of saying we faked it and added or hyped it up, that made up a whole lot of bullshit, they called it sexed up. And I thought that's a bit strange. Next thing you know, our main news readers were saying sexed up, and there were politicians, including the Prime Minister, John Howard,
that's
saying
propaganda.
Sexed up. And so I knew that John Howard is he's the ultimate nerd, dickhead, like an absolute pathetic, groveling, like Albanese or something.
Bureaucrat.
These people don't.
They're all bureaucrats.
Bureaucrats do not use the word sexed up in their dialect unless they're being told to use the word sexed up. So that was part of this Orwellian changing the language and abbreviating everything and removing the knowledge of the ability of, that say, a guy that's been to a Jesuit school who's been taught the trivium, quadrivium, whatever, who can argue backwards, sideways. They're trained, a good private school to teach critical thinking. This was taken out of the public schools.
Rhetoric.
Right? So now the rhetoric was taken out. So now we've got basically a new race of kids.
We just have drones.
We've got drones at best. At best.
You could follow orders.
I wouldn't even. At least a drone works and does stuff. These new ones don't even work and they get free money.
Yeah,
and
they don't.
You know what
they're
I mean?
They're given
SOMA. So. Exactly. Exactly. So there's no doubt whatsoever. We are entering into the new world.
Yeah.
No, go. Sorry, I missed that bit.
You're given legal weed and cheap alcohol and all that. Keep them drugged out of. I think mainly pharmaceuticals too. Keep drugged out of their mind.
Feed them. Feed the children. Ritalin, feed them Adderall.
Something if they're hyper, something if they're depressed, something if they're nervous.
Oh, yeah.
Pill for every ill.
I have a friend in Switzerland, a lady friend that is currently in the process of quitting using cocaine. Crack, rather, but anyway, it's cocaine anyway. So that person went to a treatment center, said that she wanted to have help, to stop doing drugs and everything. And she told me, she was like, they have absolutely no answer. The only thing they will give me is pills. That's all they have. Absolutely nothing, no solution, no, no, we should talk about this, you should do this or that. No, just pills.
Yeah.
Like Ab was saying, one pill to sleep, one pill to get up, one pill in the middle, and one supplementary pill if you are a bit depressed.
Yeah.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
You're listening to Ab, Rick, and the legendary Benoit from Switzerland on the 20th of May, 2023, according to my calendar, which seems to be working. And we're talking about the medication of the population, because that is a fact, no argument entered into. They are, they've had the kids for 15 years, 20 years, I'd say. So you've now got second generation kids that are on, that are having babies. I just bumped into, Ab, you'd be interested in this. I mentioned it before. Bumped into a plumber, same age as me. He's got kids, same age as me. His daughter just had her first child.
Oh, nice.
21.
Oh, that's young.
She's in hospital with clots. In hospital with clots.
She took the clot shot?
Yeah, she's a hairdresser, so you can guarantee that. And I, just changing the subject slightly, there is still a business in a little town that I live near that says, with a handwritten note on the door, you can't come in here unless you've been vaccinated. Because
hairdressers, that's what they wanted. They wanted the businesses to enforce all that. So, yeah, I could see that.
Oh, yeah. But Ab, there's no such thing as COVID. I've checked on the World Health Organization. That doesn't exist anymore.
So hey, they released a Mind virus into the world, and the Mind virus is what has spread. And how do you get it out? It's stuck in people's heads now.
It's impossible. It's impossible, Ab. You just have to admit it. It's impossible. It's here for good. And
that'll go away in a generation unless they reinforce it again or promote it again. But yeah,
I don't think we've discussed that. I think it might have been Monday you published it. The animation of the after the reset that you published.
That was a pretty good, long animation. Very hard to do unless it's all digital.
Yeah, but that was fantastic. Anyone that wants to, I guess, FakeoTube. Is it on FakeoTube, I would say?
I didn't put it on FakeoTube. I guess I could have because I just left it on YouTube. I didn't pull it over. I guess I could. But, yeah, go to shorts.fakeologist.com. That's where I post all just simple links, shorts.fakeologist.com. It's over there. And, it's pretty – it's about a dystopian future where you are – in a, I guess...
detention camp? Quarantine facility?
Yeah, it's just regular living quarters. That acts as like a prison. That's where you live. That's where people live. They just set you up in this...
I don't recommend it to people that are easily depressed because it's very realistic.
Yeah, it's very good. The graphics are great.
Yeah, I thought it was fantastic. And it actually flits back to how it happened, how it started, and how they ended up getting put into these detention centres. And he's sitting there getting his food delivered, and you see it's all bugs, by drone, and it's all bugs, bug food, bug little pictures of bugs on the food. He's got his, and then he gets tasered because he doesn't have his mask over his nose.
He gets tasered by the drone. The surveillance drone, and he's looking around the compound from his little balcony where he sees what's going on.
Waving at a neighbor, who takes a voluntary expense. So all of a sudden he gets on his smartphone, he gets a promised if you take this experimental shot that might help fight this virus, you can get all these credits for more food. And there's pictures of pizzas and McDonald's and stuff like that on the image. And he says no, and it says, we're sorry that you feel that way. And then he looks out and he sees his neighbour the next day or the week after, a medical drone or whatever pulls up outside the neighbour's house, and doctors go in and clearly give him a clot shot.
And yeah.
I think a week later, an ambulance drone comes and picks him up and throws him in the back of a thing. And, yeah, I won't spoil the rest, but the dumpster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of blood clots, don't you remember when the pill, the contraceptive pill, was giving clots to late women?
Yeah.
Probably.
Yes.
That's one of the reasons why
My mother, one of the reasons I'm the way I am, she told me she'd been trained as a nurse and then ended up working in admissions. She was the person that used to see all the people coming in with whatever the things that they had wrong with them. She was the one that was very vocal against chemical sprays, and one of the other things that she was very against was the pill and smoking. She said that females that smoke, I remember telling her this, that if you're smoking it on the pill, you have heart attacks, because there were women having heart attacks in their 30s in New Zealand in the 70s and 80s that was...
And cancer,
the result of the pill.
Cancer,
yeah.
Yeah.
Breast cancer.
It's a thing.
Yeah.
Breast cancer was huge in the 70s.
Yep.
I lost two people. My aunt and a friend, yeah. 70s, early 80s, yeah. The pill. Because these women would have been smokers and on the pill.
Yeah, the smoking and the cross between smoking and on the the pill, which was a hormonal suppressant or whatever it did to block the
baby. It's artificial progesterone. So so whatever it did, it made sure that the egg wouldn't implant in the womb.
No.
It suppresses the release of the egg. I can't remember what it does. It might suppress the hormone that releases the egg.
One of the two.
What I remember about it is that
happened in my personal life is that I had a girlfriend back then, and we discussed having a kid, but it was just a discussion. And then suddenly she fell ill. She did some exam and everything, and they discovered that the pill was giving her blood clots on the legs. So basically she had to give up the pill. So then it kick-started the real discussion of let's have a kid.
Yeah.
Can I tell you, as I was about to say before, can I tell you who came up with the epithet "the pill" in quotation marks?
Is that Bernays?
The pill? No, Aldous Huxley.
Huxley. I think we talked about that before. I think.
Yeah. Well, so in 1964, 65, a movie came out called Prudence and the Pill to market the pill. It was just it was a British movie. I think it had Judy Geeson. Not sure. My memory's coming back. I'm telling you now, my memory, since I started doing crosswords, my fast track memory part of the brain started working again.
Nice.
And I think it was Judy Geeson. Not sure. But the movie Prudence and the Pill was a marketing technique. And then the Beatles came out with a song called Dear Prudence.
Yeah.
And Prudence was the sister of. So there was a marketing campaign to reiterate the word prudence and pill into your brain. And Aldous Huxley was the man that quote used, what are you going to call this thing? Call it the pill. Because it's very simple.
Prudence means something too. We all know what prudence means.
Yes, of course. So we're out doing Crow 777 because this is the kind of thing he's...
Maybe we should explain it to the audience who are not English-speaking. Go ahead. What does prudence mean?
Prudence means it's like a direct kind of attitude to what would I call...
Because if you're a prude, If you're considered a prude, yeah, that means you're prim and proper. You do things correctly. Proper. You don't violate rules. Prudent. If you do something with prudence, you do something with extreme care. And and that's really what it means. Yeah. So they're associating prudence with the pill. That's the right thing to do. It's proper. It's what you should do.
It's what you should do.
Yes. Yeah. It's a prudent thing to do. Yeah. So, it's a smart, intelligent thing to do.
So here we go. Another reason why Fakeologist Radio, fakeologist.com is telling
you. We define words here.
This is Crow777 is doing some fantastic stuff, I have to say. I've been listening to it.
Yeah, but his vinegar shows, and chemtrails, that's just pure.
Yeah, I saw it. Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
But Amanda Vollmer's pushing it as well.
I know. My goodness.
I got a text from Fake Ake saying, have you seen this? And I said, yeah, I have, actually.
That's stupid.
Well,
come on.
It's out there. Let me just say that. Out there.
Oh, I just drove through a big puddle. We're having floods here. Yep. I knew there was a puddle along here somewhere.
Speaking of floods, I'd like to hear from what's his name, the wonderful Australian who's living in Italy, who's on
Critical Sinker.
I don't know if he's back in Italy, but apparently they're having massive floods over there. As we've had, we had our floods 2 years ago, and we're still getting over them.
Yeah, but you got to say because Australia is a desert. So you got to be specific where it's happening.
So mid North Coast and
Italy is huge too. Of course, not even a real country.
That's interesting. You would say not even a real country because
it's just a hodgepodge. No, what I'm saying is the north and the south, they're just all shoved together and back in the past called a country.
Completely different people too. So northern Italians are blonde. And Southern Italians are very dark.
They don't even like each other. They don't even consider themselves. Maybe it's changed. They don't. I don't know.
As far as I know, they didn't change.
Hey, Ben, what do you look into Afghanistan? If you want to see disjointed hate each other, there could be no bigger country of literally tribes next door to each other hate. The people next, there is complete indifference in every part.
And why is that?
It's always been that way.
It's the push car or something or other.
We're one of the smallest country in the world, yet we have four different national languages, and not one.
Yeah, and you speak.
The linguistic minorities can stand the other one. So, for example,
we've been scattered by our lingo, our language has been, we've been scattered to the winds, you know, like the, it's in the Bible, you know, but it's true, like in Afghanistan, you can go through a region that's only maybe, you know, 30 miles from the next one. They hate the next one, but get this: in England, it's exactly the same. In Manchester and Liverpool don't like each other very much. There's some town just out. So Manchester has two football teams: Manchester City, Manchester United. They don't like each other. Regional hatred of each tribe is massive in England. The Welsh are the same. I think the Irish are the same. So we've been completely divided, even though we're exactly the same and have probably the same relatives. It's incredible how they've done this divide and conquer thing. Guaranteed. That's what they've done, divide and conquer.
Yeah, definitely.
100%. Yeah.
But it's not the worst. I mean, it's completely possible to live in a country that is well organized. Even with such constraint and not having the same language.
Exactly. Yeah, you can do that. I went out with a Chinese girl about 30 years ago. She could speak hardly any English. I could speak no Chinese. yet we got on really well because we can kind of point at things and, you know, and the one common denominator I found was food. Well, I guess, but the one common denominator was food. When we went out for food, we had no problems. And she took me to Chinese restaurants. And I can tell you now, if you're with a person from China and you go to a Chinese restaurant, you're going to get the best food you've ever had. But if you go in there a round eye, or gui lai or whatever they call us, the service is completely different. And I remember her looking at the waitress going, he's with me, and I like to say, don't give us that. We want this. And we had this incredible meal. And I said, how did you do that? You know, I'm trying to gesticulate.
Give us the beef, not the cat.
Give it. Honestly, I think you were right. That's exactly what she said in Cantonese. She said,
it's a scene in the movie Fight Club, if you remember. They are, he's with his girlfriend at the restaurant, and the guy is like, hi, boss. And the character Edward Norton is playing is asking, is the food clean? And the guy say, yeah, just avoid the soup.
Yeah.
It's a fact. I mean, I went to Turkey with a friend of mine that is Turkish, and I'm sure that I was well more well received than if I would have gone alone. It's not a joke.
Because they treat, particularly if they think you're from England, if you're in France, I got jumped into a taxi, and he turned around and looked at me as if to say, get out, because he thought I was English. And I said, no, New Zealand. Mm-hmm. As soon as I said that, he's like, the common language is rugby union. They love rugby union in France. And he said, yeah, from New Zealand, fantastic. But when he thought that I was English, he was going to take me from, you know, the La Garde du Nord via, you know, whatever the eastern way of doing it, or the west. He was going to take me the long way. He didn't even want me in his taxi. But there's a common denominator. So if you can get on with people with food, food is a common denominator. Food does, I go to a Muslim restaurant, and the old ladies in there, they think I'm fantastic, you know, because I always tell them how fantastic their food is. And they come in, they go, they're in Ramadan. And she came and sat next to me. And she goes, you must try, you know, you must try. And she's gave me this bread dessert that they only give to, if you're in a Muslim, obviously. But because she liked me, because I always say how fantastic your food is, beautiful, they gave me all this stuff. And I've never tasted it. I've never seen it on the menu before. If they think you're part of the club, you're going to get looked after. Someone of their tribe.
Oh, yeah. I can give you an example of that. 24, something like that. I went to the mosque with a friend of mine to pray. Whatever. It was a phase. Anyway, I went to the mosque to pray.
Yeah, it's all right.
I saw some people from my neighborhood, the neighborhood I grew up in. Those people, we grew up together. I mean, we were kids, go to same school, everything. Those people never were as to me as when I met them in the mosque or just after.
Yeah, all of a sudden you're cool.
I didn't knew you were with us. I didn't knew you were with us. So you should have told us that you were with us.
It's almost like sporting teams do the same thing. That's why so many people, they walk like you see people walk around with a football team logo. Other people will say he's part of my tribe, but they accept you as being much closer than this guy. Oh, I see him, but he supports that team. You know, I hate that team. You know, so if you're part of a culture, there's no doubt about it, and that's how they divided us. They divided us with colours.
It's kind of normal, because to give you an example, if I see someone that is wearing my old town football club gear, I always compliment that person. I go out of my way to compliment that person. I mean, if I see someone with the Servette FC tracksuit, I'm like, nice tracky, dude. You know, it's like a thing. One day I saw a guy that had a FC tattoo on his arm. And
all of a sudden, he's your brother. He's your brother. And if he wants to borrow money, you're going to give it to him. But if he had the wrong team, honestly, and that's how they've done this with this whole world control. It's just divide and conquer. And the Romans were the experts in this, and that's why I guess it comes from Rome. If Rome existed, or the Greeks, they knew that these are the secrets of control. To control a large group of people, you must divide them in the middle, and the middle again.
After the break.
You're listening break to them. After the break.
We need a roll.
I'm Broken Locks from Christchurch.
Dee Dee from Portland.
Jungle Jeff.
Rasmo Jeff.
Dead Kelly.
Adam from Florida.
You are listening to Fakeologist Radio at Fakeologist.com.
You're listening to Rick Abb and the incredible Benoit on the 20th of the 5th, 2023.
As I see it, it's not necessarily a bad thing to have a way to recognize your own. So maybe the
football okay.
It's a little bit stupid.
That's a positive.
Having your way. Yeah, that can be a positive. But also one has not to be blind about it because, there are supporters of the club that are completely they are complete assholes. Most of the supporter clubs in Europe for football, they are very, very right leaning politically. So basically a bunch of assholes. So as much as I feel some sympathy for them, I never forget that in the end, when push comes to shove, we don't think the same at all.
No. But is it probably human nature? And I think this is where Bernays and his uncle, Freud, they knew these secrets that have been they've come down over the millennia. Thousands and thousands of years of how do you control individuals? How do you do this? And but obviously Freud used to take his nephew Edward Bernays for long walks and discuss, the subconscious, this is what people, what they want is maybe not what they think they want. This is what they really want. They want to see someone that they can identify with, so they see a logo on that guy's shirt or their tattoo or maybe he's got a face tattoo or whatever. And it basically creates a divide, though, from the humanity, so when we all should be saying, we're all bleeding red, we've got red blood, we want to have we want to have food. At the end of the day, we want to have food, drinks, we may want drugs, we may want this, we're all the same. At the end of the day, you want to have children, look after your children, you want to have a wife or a partner.
I think it's a fascinating dynamic. For example, I will take something that I know from real life. You come to boot camp in Switzerland, so you're like, you're from Geneva? Yeah, you're on my team, you're my guy. Whatever, you might be a piece of shit, but you are from Geneva. So basically, you're with me. And then you extend it.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, French speaker, you're with me, you're my guy. You know what I mean? And after a while, you extend that. You're like, oh, you are not an officer. You are with me. You are my guy. And that's what happened.
Of course, it's
fascinating.
Not everyone, but the majority of people hate anyone that's over above them that can tell them what to do. The officers, for instance, military officers, that are the lowest denominator. Frag. You think of the word frag when someone's trying to kill you and send you into action where you don't want to go. You just want to sit around drinking with your friends, and this officer's going to tell you to go and fight over there. And of course, hate. But they've managed to translate the same common,
definitely.
Human nature into sport.
To go back to the boot camp example, of course they use this tactic, and it's very obvious, but you do it all the same. They're like, oh, come on. We know you French speakers are shit. There is no way you will be a time. You'll be a time for that exercise that is at least 10 seconds lower than the German. And if you listen close enough, you can hear the guy speaking the same bullshit in German to the other guys. And that's all there is to it. Again, because of opposing us, they managed to get the best time ever. Because you really push yourself because, you are not one of those German, come on. You are better than that. So everybody pushes hardest. Or maybe there is the loan doesn't give a fuck, but even then you will motivate the guy and then you push yourself hard for something that you are not willing to do in the end. But you do it the hardest that you can because they find the flaw. You're better than them. And that's all there is to it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's human nature. That's all it is. It's human nature. And human nature is obviously, if you understand the subconscious, and that's the thing. Subconscious is what runs us. We're run by our subconscious. We don't realize it, but it's just, they call it human nature, I guess, or super, you can call it super nature as well, in some ways, to understand that human beings have these things that they like. Doesn't matter where you're born, you've got the same like for that same thing. If you can successfully divide everybody into different things, religion, sport, color, are the three top ones, I believe. Then they've managed to bring in vaccinated and unvaccinated to the network of gossip, whatever people think. This is the way things. I just made a very expensive chemical bath of herbal bits and pieces, but my son's just stolen it off me. But we are so easily run and so manipulated, manipulative, easily by these common things. Just so simple, just give them an image, give them a logo, give them a color. They'll get on with them. They won't get on with them. If we want to do this for these people, we can do this for these people. And we've fallen for it. And it's so, you get to a stage now where you realize, this is how they've done it. They've taken over the entire planet using human nature.
Yeah, that's what Tavistock's all about. They study human nature.
Yeah, now I'm just changing the subject. It is. Well, that's exactly what Tavistock, the mind control, but where did Tavistock get their information from? They got it from guys at Machiavelli. The Prince, if you read The Prince by Machiavelli, it was his instructions of how to control people. And that would have been 300 years ago or 400 years ago, I'm not sure.
Machiavelli stuff. I will say Machiavelli, it's around. Yep. And don't quote me on that. And it's around 1,500 or something like that.
So 500 years ago, Machiavelli, and just read his stuff and read what he says. And I have the book, The Prince. It's human nature. And the funniest thing, coincidence, the restaurant across the road from Australian Parliament in Sydney was called Machiavelli's, where the politicians used to go and have their dinner and lunch and meet, and left side and right side would sit and have their, a long lunch. But the restaurant was called Machiavelli's for a good reason, I would say. It was quite openly known. That was the way you keep these imbeciles of the public, that the mouth breathers that they think we are. And to be honest, there's a lot of them out there that are this, people that work in factories. They get up in the morning, they go and clean the streets, they go and deliver the milk to people's houses. To them, they're the useless eaters. These are the people they can control. Even though those people are the ones that really are keeping society going. But Machiavelli held the secrets, I would say, I guess Solon, the great grandfather of Plato. If old history is accurate, but Solon said that the Egyptians laughed at him when he questions, you know, how long has this information come, you know, been out there? And they said, you don't even know how long your ancestors are hundreds of thousands of years old. And they made fun of Solon, which again, you've got your son, Solon, two very influential names in that name, Solon. But Plato did the Republic book. Again, highly read Republic and, you know, with an open mind now and see he was giving you the same techniques of control that we're being they're using on us now.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's all there. I don't know how, you know, maybe the age of these things could be manipulated. They might not be that old, but when I look at some of these incredible structures around the world, you know, like particularly in Europe, you know, you've got these, or in Turkey, right, these giant villages constructed, not villages, but cities constructed out of stone, you know, grinding into stone with whatever the tools they had back in the day. Incredible, absolutely incredible. And then there's the American, South American stuff. There's Machu Picchu and things like that, where you've got this, as the sun rises, the snake grinded somehow into the stone wall starts moving. As the sun rises, the shadow makes the snake move like it's moving. I mean, to come up with that kind of technology to do that, or to understand how to do that with the sun, I mean, that's not the work of an imbecile or a Stone Age person. This is a very advanced technology as far as I'm concerned. But, you know, there's another argument we can go into with fakeologists.
Hey, how about the rollover report?
Okay. No idea whatsoever, because he has not replied to except for Christy contacted me when I messaged, you know, out of concern that how is he? And she just said he's really sick with a flu and he's sneezing and doesn't smoke or drink. That was the last I've heard, and I've heard nothing since whatsoever.
That was a week ago?
He's alive. About a week ago, yeah. Well, since the last conversation we had. So he's alive. That's all I can say. He's alive.
All right.
It's a shame. It's a shame because he invited me to Australia, and it just so happened that I have a big hole in my schedule this summer. So if he ever...
Listen, if you ever come over, because I've got a big house, so if you ever need to...
Oh, definitely. I'm really looking into it because I'm trying to extend my accident medical leave for at least a month or two. And since my job seems to be very, very keen on kicking me out, I get nothing better.
Even if Rollo was sober, he's a really generous, nice guy, that he would literally let you walk in and stay in his... He's another person with a big house as well, so there's no doubt about that. But do yourself a favour. Yeah. There's plenty of work all over Australia at the moment, plenty of people for now, although I'm struggling for work, but that's because I don't want to work on the road doing stop and go dressed up in orange overalls. I refuse to do that. I've done my days at that. But I'm just trying to get my own decent clients back again somehow. But Rollo's, when I say he, I assume he's just having, you know, he's completely sober and got a bad flu. As far as I'm concerned, though, the way he was going with his vodka and he was bleeding everywhere, he could have really done it some damage. So hopefully he's recuperating slowly. Because he was every conversation I had with him, and this isn't on air, obviously, but he was not well at all. So
Yeah, I can tell. I can tell he wasn't well. My only question for that was that immigration is very, very strict in Australia. So since I have a criminal report...
You haven't shot anyone. I don't think...
No. I think nothing I ever did criminally is... Is an act of violence or against person or well, I did fight the cops once and it's on my record.
Look, to be honest, I don't think they're that fussy about because we've got loads and loads and loads of Afghanis here, and I can guarantee you now they haven't come over here with clean records. So
definitely.
And all those Albanians, I can guarantee you now, have not come over here with clean records. And the Irish are the same. Assault charges and fighting cops is not what you call ban them from the country.
Yeah, and in India, you just take to ask for a visa, and if they allow it, good, and if they don't, then it's done. It's pretty easy in the end.
Look into it and see what you can do, because if you're prepared to do any kind of work, there's still loads of work over here, obviously. But I like working for myself. I don't want to work for standing on the road doing stop go, even though they're probably making at least $2,000 a week in the city doing stop go signs. Literally, that's how much money they're paying.
And I'm certain
that construction sites, labouring, doing courier work is huge, guaranteed. There's still heaps of work.
If I try, I can get a work in some shop that will find fantastic that they have an accent and it can make everybody happy.
Guaranteed. I'll tell you now, Benoit. Do a basic barista course and you're never going to be out of work at all.
Definitely.
Because everyone's screaming for baristas.
And it's the same all across the world. If you are quite good looking and spoken and nice. Yeah. When I was in Birmingham, the guy from the street wanted to hire me. It's not impossible to get one.
You're guaranteed. Have you heard from Heather at all? Or is she...
Yeah. No. I'm not as close as I once was with her, obviously, because of distance and time and everything, but I speak with her at least via text on a daily basis, almost.
Oh, excellent. Yeah, because she's a great fakeologist, guaranteed, that chick. You know, she one of those ones that knew she had an ear for bullshit and could pick it out, so... She was a good
.
I haven't seen her on fakeologist.com. I think Rachel's still on there.
Yeah, I'll be convinced to come back probably, but
yeah, it's all good.
But yeah, she's doing fine, everything is going all right. It's been a fucking while since I did not see her. But last August it was. And I will not expand on that, but terrible.
Yeah, no.
Terrible. But she was in Geneva last August, and I managed to fuck it up without going into too much details. So anyway, she was there last year, and I will be... I'm trying to see her for a week or anything, but since I am not a Saudi or a rich or anything, ever, Skylarkin from Birmingham.
Skylarkin.
Oh, Skylarkin. Sorry, I just came in. Are you back? Is she back?
No, she will soon enough. The thing is that I cannot afford to travel across the world. So if I want to go to Birmingham, I will have to consider going to Australia and the opposite. So maybe I might say Birmingham and try to go somewhere else. Change my mind.
Let me just tell you now that Australia has openly said they want 1.5 million people are coming over here to get citizenship in the next 2 years. And I would say you will get accepted. You will get accepted as a citizen, guaranteed. Don't quote me on that, but I reckon guaranteed. in my conspiratorial mind, because there are people going to be, they're desperately trying to bring in as many people as possible over here. So just put an application in, see if you can, because you got between Rollo, myself, and Frank. You could be down the salt mines digging salt with Frank.
Yeah, and if anything, I just spend the month vacation, meet the people I have to meet, and come back to my shit hole. I mean, that's the way it is. It's life is life, but sometimes there is opportunity, sometimes there is not. But I really, really want, if I can find a way to do it, travel
We're
to
told
Australia.
Switzerland
to
is the best country in the world. How can you be in a shithole?
No, I thought Canada was.
No, no, no. I will just tell you how much money I got. I got a paycheck, finding my complete salary before taxes is $4,000.
This is Without a Trace.
Rochello.
Will Lose.
Jen Real.
Zulo.
Merbless. SMG.
You're listening to Fakeologist Radio at fakeologist.com.
No pay.
So yes, I need to 4,200. So from that, you deduct 500. Social contribution, workers, blah, blah, blah. So I'm at 3,700. Then there is taxes, the real taxes. I will say about 10% of that. So 370. Then there is my health coverage that is fucking 100 a month. Then there is my rent. And then there is child support. So it's a fucking shithole. I don't make nearly enough money, even with my criminal activities, to live the life.
Well, give it a go. Try and get an application for Australia, because between me, Rollo, and Frank, and there's a few others over here, be told, you could come and have a great holiday over here, working holiday, because there is plenty of work here, apparently. Apparently, so give it a go. Yeah. Give it a go.
Yeah, I'm still for a few years, I'm young enough to try to see what life is about somewhere else, because yes, it's too busy with life quality and everything. Switzerland is not the worst, but I was discussing that with a lady friend the other day. I was like, I kind of like Vladimir Putin. I just wanted to be the devil advocate, but she was like, no, this guy is a creeper, and they attack Ukraine, and such and such. And she said, you have no personal freedom, and the liberties and everything. And I just told her, I was like, fuck off with your fucking liberties. The liberty is what I want to take as liberties. And in the end, if I can be, if I can get rid of the LGBT propaganda at the cost of a little bit of my freedom, I might be up for it. I might really be up for it.
Have you looked into Colombia?
I rather not, but I have been told that there was maybe an intern job to be done there.
I know a guy that you can room with for a while.
You know what? The worst, you will probably get along greatly in the end. Because I like the
guy. You'd probably be best friends.
No, but really, I mean, we were for a long time, but it's really, really close. I have nothing.
I reckon, to be honest, you probably could.
Definitely. It's just just misunderstanding and ego, and my dick is bigger than yours. He's a ginger, so obviously mine is bigger, but you got the drift. It's just a pissing contest. It's just a stupid pissing contest.
Yeah.
Just testosterone, that's all it is.
Yeah. But whatever, the past is the past, and the future is up ahead, and it's going to be fascinating. Imagine when I joined the server in 2019. Who would have thought that we have so much big event and everything?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you've really taken advantage of the server. It's really been good for you.
Yeah, definitely. Really? I mean, the personal development, best thing that happened in my life.
You're a fakeologist success story.
Yeah, probably in some ways, yeah. But
all I can say is that the same thing that I said for all these years. I love this place. This is a great thing that people can express themselves under certain rules, because of course you are not anarchist or anything like that. But I mean, the concept in itself, it's very great. And it's so great that they keep and continue to delete you. So to me, it saves a lot.
That's because it's too easy to report the server. You can just click a button and report the server. It's right above leave server. So I think people on their way out decide to report it.
I see that too. I saw that. And so, yeah, you're right.
It's so easy.
Yeah.
Yeah. If it wasn't there, it would be much harder to find and people wouldn't do it. People go for convenience. If it's there, you do it. That's what I think.
I found that to find it to be funny that, as we all know, Discord is owned by Tencent, if I'm correct, that is a Chinese company. And
I don't know why. I did not know that.
Yes, it's a fact. I mean, I might be wrong because it changed or anything, but if I remember it correctly, it's Tencent that is owned by Discord.
I think you're right. I'm going to mute for 10 minutes.
Okay.
I'm going to mute for 10 minutes.
Got it.
Yeah, I'm saying the fact that the Chinese-owned tech company is censoring the exact same person and topic that an Occidental tech company will do, it just goes to show that everybody is end in end and they agree on almost every topic. And the opposition that we see in the media is just theater, because in the end, they censor the same people. If the Chinese government was so keen on giving problems to the Occidental government, there will be absolutely no censorship on this part, except if we were to talk badly about the Chinese government. Yet, they censor topics such as COVID and things like that. So, obviously, they are in cahoots with the Occidental government. At least, that's how I see it.
Oh, of course. No doubt. Although there is some competition because TikTok, if you believe it's owned by a Chinese company, I really think they are taking all the business, all the advertising. And the only way the tech companies can fight back is they have to go to the government and tell them to ban them because they're killing them in the business. That's a no agenda idea, by the way. That's a no-agenda concept. I agree with that guy 100% on that. Oh, I said 100%, Frank. Sorry.
Yeah. By the way, I have to say something publicly since we are live. I have asked Frank lately if he had any advice he can give me because I was feeling down and nothing was really going right and everything. And of course, because it's Frank, he told me, you should say the Lord's Prayer as often as possible.
That's right.
I've been doing it for the past week, and it works. I mean, I'm not saying that saying the prayers or anything like that as a magic.
Yeah, yeah. I was saying it for a while,
putting
too.
Putting myself in the frame of mind of saying it is giving great results.
I think there's something to it. Hold on one second. All right, we're back.
Yeah, I kind of lost what I was saying when we got.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, we were on about tech. Yeah, we were talking about Tencent, tech companies, and everything in between.
That's true. Yeah, we're talking about that. Yeah, TikTok. Apparently, everything. I don't like to go onto the TikTok app because it just keeps playing a million videos a minute and makes me crazy. But I did have a viral video on TikTok, over 200,000 views. Without even trying, so. Really? Yeah.
What was it about?
It was just about not getting over the border. I just did a little 90-second reporting on that fact, and apparently everyone thought it was interesting, even though it wasn't. But got 2,000 comments, 5,000 likes. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
What does that tell you? It tells you that everyone is over there. That's where everybody is hanging out right now. Everybody's there.
Yeah. My kid is on TikTok. Probably spent 10 minutes watching over our shoulder. It's an app for retards.
Well, there's a lot of instructional videos about how to do stuff.
Yeah.
They're everywhere.
Why won't anybody want to read a short novel where there are super books that are 1,000 pages long? That's what I see.
Yeah, well, even Google, like when I watch some YouTube channels that I like, and I have to tell you that to go from one video to the next on YouTube is a painful process. It's slow, you gotta click. It's not good. And they could fix it easily. Where TikTok, you don't have to do anything. You just sit back and it's going to fire videos at you so fast you don't even have time to think. And that's how they get the views going.
Yeah, but to use an image, I will tell you that when I'm eating, I like to pick the fruits that I'm eating. Because sometimes, just sometimes when I'm looking at my food basket, I see that one of them is rotten and I don't eat it. So if there was some kind of machine that I will probably never see the rotten one and the machine is feeding me until it's too late.
Yeah. Well, that's why TikTok is so damn successful, I think.
Yeah.
Is they're just able to fire, and apparently they highlight videos that are more positive, and whereas the Americans are more into conflict. So obviously, if you're watching positive stuff, it makes you feel good, and that's why people like watching TikTok. I don't know if that's true, but it's interesting.
Yeah, it's like everything. There is probably some very good things to be found on TikTok. It's the same as everything. You go to the grocery store. There is probably great food to be had. But then again, people buy chicken nuggets. That's what they know.
It's just the way TikTok delivers the content. And I do find other platforms extremely frustrating to use and to get the information. Apparently, as I've said many times before, No Agenda was saying that people go to TikTok to search on every subject, taking away from Google's business. People don't use Google in the same way anymore, and they're going to TikTok to search for anything and everything that they're questioning or want to look up. And that's Google's business. And Google's freaking out.
That made me think about something. I wanted to speak to you about that. Do you know who Casey Neistat is by any chance? I might be butchering the name, but Casey Neistat.
And, I used to watch him all the time. I watched him all. I got tired of him.
Yeah, I will post something for you in Free For All. He is interviewed by some name, Andrew Schultz. Not familiar with the guy, but anyway. He's interviewed by Andrew Schultz, this guy, Casey Neistat. And he's basically saying that he was directing traffic in some hospital during 9/11 as a civilian at that.
with absolutely no qualification. If I remember it correctly, it was like, oh, I went to the ER and everybody was cheap. It was disorganized. So I took it upon myself to direct the operation. Imagine that.
Yeah, Casey Neistat is a very, very good video editor / storyteller. When I last watched him, he had about 6 million followers on YouTube. He was a YouTube star, influencer. But he always, he's based in New York City, so he was constantly showing the Freedom Tower in the background. Mm-hmm. On purpose, for sure. So, yeah, I know he has a 9/11 story that's completely ridiculous. Yeah. All these guys do. I have seen it.
Yeah, you can have the story.
I have seen the story many times, yes. So he's just another... He's just another shill that's out there in a new medium.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, but what I found funny is that he doesn't even need it to do that. You know what I mean? It's like he did it out of pure spite because he's already known it's not that story that he's going to make or break it. So,
well,
just to insert himself in the news.
That's part of his job. Part of his job as an influencer, he's got to promote the lies and the myths. I'm sure he was promoting the vaccine too. I stopped watching him a couple of years ago, but yes, it was. I don't even know if he's still relevant. Maybe he is, maybe he's not.
I think not. Just that I came across this fascinating bit of an interview, and I think it's about 7 minutes long, so it's not too long. And I did listen to it because everything 9/11 related.
Is it recent? Is it a recent?
I think it's at least. Yeah, the publication is probably less than a month.
I'll watch it.
Yeah. I posted it somewhere, so I've been picking up. But it's fast. It's not groundbreaking because at this point, nothing groundbreaking about 9/11 will be too long. But. Yes, 20 years of people are still bullshitting about it 22 years after.
Now, why would he even bring it up in an interview? We're already talking 22 years ago. How would he even come up?
Maybe he was trying to paint himself as the ultimate New Yorker, you know?
Right, okay. Yeah.
I think
that's part of history. He wants to be part of it, yeah. I getcha.
That's basically.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
Now we're back. The Velo box seems to be acting up again this morning. No beep sometimes. It is Saturday, May the 20th, 2023. And Wild Times was saying we should have regular audios to get more people on. Well, this is a regular audio, Saturday and Sunday mornings, Eastern, which should be good for Europeans. not for North Americans. And it's okay for Australians, too, because of the time. But if anyone wants to participate, you can go to fake11.com/Discord. Or you can send me an email, and I will bring you into the Telegram audio chat. We're just testing it out. Right now, Telegrammers can't hear Discorders at the same time, but they can hear each other, which is good. But that's the plan, is to I'm on Telegram quite a bit now, and I do have a Telegram audio chat that does seem to work. And there are lots of people on Telegram that are not on Discord. Are you on Telegram, Benoit? Benoit's muted. He's out and about in Switzerland. Rick may be back.
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot that I was muted. Yeah, I was saying I have the app on my phone. That is a fact. But I don't know if I'm logged in into your thing there. But I know that I have an ID at Telegram.
Well, if you go to fake11.com/Telegram, you will join 3 Telegram groups, the Fakeologist Broadcast Group, Fakeologist Discussion Group, and the Fakeologist 500 Epic Coin Giveaway. Do you have your Epic Cash wallet, Benoit?
No, I don't believe in cryptos. I only use cash. Right. I don't believe in the banking system. First thing I do when I get my pay is to withdraw everything in cash. First thing. I mean, I cannot withdraw all in one go because stupid banking.
Epic Cash is not part of the banking system, but okay.
The only thing I use for...
I'd like to give you 5 Epic coins if I could.
Yeah. It's really ridiculous that we're free. If it's free, I'm taking. No, but what I'm saying is that there is a thing called Revolut that is an online bank that I use for my great banking needs. But apart from that, I never got crypto already. I mean, I don't know why. I like to hold my money.
Okay. Well, if you like free things, download the Epic Pay wallet and I will send you 5 Epic coins from the Giver of Epic program that is linked to my Epic channel, and that way you can watch it and take a look at it and see if it's interesting to you.
Yeah, I'm going to get on it, if anything, to break your user.
Well, we need a Swiss representative, so check it out.
The thing is that I'm Swiss, but I'm Greek, so I'm not the best. I mean, I can be a place on the but I may be the one of the person that is the more in depth with them country. It's completely insane. I looked at my financial situation the other day and got very depressed. And euphoric at the same time.
Maybe you can use it for your side business.
Yeah, I'm really looking into that because sometimes the cashless subscription is not the right thing.
Wouldn't it be interesting if you had a use case scenario for your side business? Private currency, untrackable, untraceable. Check it out, man.
Yeah, I will. I don't think that anything is untraceable, to be honest, because I will still be using my own private internet connection anyway. But it's interesting to get in on it, because in the end, it's going to replace cash one day. So better be ready for when that happens.
Yes.
I mean, cash will always exist. Cash will always exist. Because,
I'm not so sure about that.
Yeah, I mean, come on. There will always be a place where you can pay with cash.
I wouldn't be so sure. Let's put it this way. If there was no cash, you'd need something else. So check out this.
Definitely.
If you can get all the people in your business network to agree to it, then it's a currency. You don't need any official sanction. If you all agree on its use, then you don't need the bank to tell you you can use it. You could use matchsticks. If you all agree that matchsticks were worth something, then you could use that too, but it's not very practical.
Yeah. Or it's like cigarettes in jail. But in jail,
of course.
Yeah, it's the same thing in the end. You get what you can that has value as a currency, and you simply use it, whatever the case may be.
Yeah. So when you do install the Epic Pay wallet, just do a 5-star review in the store that you're in, that you downloaded from. Post it in my group, and then they'll send you 5 Epic coins and send your receive wallet into the group as well, and then they'll transfer that in. Be no problem.
Yeah, I will do it later on the day. But for now, it's noon. Noon is 12 in the middle of the day in English.
Okay.
Okay, so it's noon now here, so I have to go out and do some things before the day is completely wasted. So I will have to jump off. But I will be there next week. I think that this Saturday time schedule is perfect for me. So,
are you out of your parole? Are you out of your parole situation now? Is that over?
Oh yeah. It's been a while. Now I'm off work because I got hit by a car while on the bicycle, so I'm still nursing my clavicle.
Yes,
I've been doing this for the past 2 months. It's okay. Honestly, the first 3 weeks were pretty bad. But I cannot complain about being paid for at least 4 months for doing absolutely nothing. It's not the worst situation. The only thing that is bothering me still is that my left shoulder is a little bit lower than my right shoulder. I can hope that it will fix over time.
We have to go to a physio and get that checked.
Yes, I did not go in the beginning because I only have 10 sessions. So I kept them for later, which will start next week. So I did not waste my session on the earlier part of the rehabilitation.
Okay. I don't know if it's a waste by going early. Probably better to go early before it sets into place.
But the thing is that the first session that they wanted to give me was stupid things like moving my elbow and my wrist. They are not even damaged, so I was like, yeah, let's skip that. And when the shoulder starts to feel a little bit normal, I will get the muscle back on by going to the physio and see what we can do about it. But then again, I may be completely wrong and I fucked up my shoulder for good. Don't put me through that.
Okay. All right. Have a good one. Take care.
Have a good one. Bye.
Bye-bye.
I'm really the end of it, and that's all, folks.